Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the sixth day of November 2019. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Bakes, and we'll take a look at the weather forecast with Drew Lerner. In Chicago at the CME Group today, December corn finished three lower at $3.78¾ per bushel. The March at $3.87¾, down four. May down 3¾ at $3.94¾, and July at $4.75¾ four lower. Next year's December, a penny and a quarter lower at $4.01. November beans down 6¾ today, $9.15 the settlement price. January at $9.27½, down 6¾, and the March at $9.40¾, 6½ lower. July soybeans down 6 at $9.63¼, and next year's November 4 lower at $9.67¼. The bean oil up 18 cents, and the bean meal down $3.80. July wheat at $5.30, up a penny for the soft red. The hard red was down a penny and three quarters for the day. Live cattle futures December contract down 45 cents at $119. Feeders down a buck and a nickel at $146.80 for the day, and lean hogs in the December 250 lower at $64.77¼. We're now joined by Jackie Vake. She's at Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson to take a look at what happened in Chicago. Thanks so much, Jackie, for being with us again on this Wednesday.
Oh, you're welcome.
Let's start with the usual support and resistance, maybe some of the managed money, and flow right into the export inspections.
When we look at corn support and resistance, not a lot of changes this week. December support 361, 313, 237. And remember, these are a monthly continuous chart is what this is. Resistance 391, 415, and 439. And I want to throw this in because I think it's very interesting. The 62% retracement for December is at 380¼, which is an area we've been trading in. And that is the retracement from the high of 473 down to the low of 352¼ on a daily. So that's a very important area that we're currently taking a stab at. On March, support 395, 370, and 324. Resistance $4, $4.11, and $4.25. And it's the 62% retracement of the high from 476 to the low of 365¾ is 389⅛. Again, another area that we've been poking our nose around in here. So if we don't fail at these levels, when I say fail, close below all these levels, even, you know, further during, but before the USDA report, it seems as if the market is kind of saying, well, you know, we're just waiting for any kind of information. We think we maybe pushed this low enough. When you look at beans, January, 920 support, 898, 872, 941, 968, and 1010¾ are the resistance levels. March, 913, 841, 814. And then resistance is at 960, 997, and 1034. And both of those contracts continue to trade above the downtrend line. So let's hope that we can hang on to that. We looked at managed money. Some interesting things going on in managed money. When it comes to the soft red wheat, they actually went from 9,000 short last week to 6,000 long this week. Beans went from 81,000 short to 103,000. So they added shorts in corn. Beans went from net long 53,000 to net long 77, so they added longs and beans. In other words, spreading is what it looks like. Soy meal short 33 this week compared to 25 last week, and soy oil gained 7,000 long at 77,000 over last week. So, you know, it's moving around, and it looks to me as if, you know, the managed money is just, they're taking a spread position more than anything else because they're uncertain of exactly where this wants to go. We look at export inspections, Todd. One interesting thing, China took beans out of the Gulf this week, as well as out of the Pacific Northwest. Haven't seen them in the Gulf for quite a long time. Wheat exports running 22% ahead of a year ago, same as last week. Corn 62% behind after 60% behind last week, and beans are 11% ahead versus 8% ahead last week. So We are moving beans. Corn is lagging. There's no question about it. And wheat continues to be pretty steady.
Friday, the United States Department of Agriculture will release the November crop production report. Usually we don't care so much about it, but this one seems like it should be a pretty big one because the harvest is so late. And, of course, they'll update the monthly WASDE, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, as well. What do you see there?
Well, the average guesses that we're looking at on carryout for corn, 1.799 billion. That's down 130 million from last month. Beans at 429 million. Isn't that amazing? That not that long ago, we were over 900 million for a carryout. Now we're down at 429 compared to 460 last month. And wheat just a little over a billion bushels of carry. When you look at crop production, they're looking for a crop to come in at 13.602 versus 13.779, so down another 118. Yield 167.3 compared to 168.4, and harvested acres, again, a little smaller, 81.3 versus 81.8. When we look at beans, they're looking for 3.513 billion bushels versus 3,550, and a yield of 46.6 versus 46.9, harvested acres at 75.4. And so, you know, these are the one thing I want to say is these numbers are in the market already. They've been trading them for a little while now. So we're going to need to come in lower than what these numbers are to really expect to see any kind of a bounce. And if we get a bounce, it may not be a long-term bounce just because of where we're at this time of year. When we look at world stockpiles, Todd, they're expecting 18-19 to come in on corn just slightly lower than last month, beans slightly higher than last month, wheat almost the same. And then for the 2019-20, corn at 299.5 million metric tons versus 302. So there we've got a 3 million metric ton drop. Beans at 95, down just a little bit, and wheat 286.8, just down just a little bit also. So it's going to be interesting. You're right. This is usually a yawner. You know, most everybody's like, just put it out there and get it over with. But this year, that's not the case at all.
Can you put it in context with the very slow harvest progress so far?
Well, you know, we're hearing elevators closing early. I know I was talking with you. You were talking about that, too. And when I look at the corn carry from December 19 to 20, it's only 21 cents. So what that says to me is, as they want corn, and, you know, that's being validated because we're hearing better basis in certain areas. It depends upon what the demand is in the individual area. But we all know that if they want the grain, you're either going to see the futures go up and basis stay the same, or you're going to see the futures go up and basis improve if they're having a hard time getting it. And, you know, I think we've got a big crop. I just don't think it's at the elevator. I think it's in the field at this point in time. Now, bean carry is at 50 cents, you know, and we usually figure 6 cents a month for a full carry situation. So it, too, isn't as big as you might expect it to be. But at the same time, it's in a little bit better position than what corn is. So that would say to me that, you know, if it keeps on going like this, Todd, I think that all of our listeners have to be looking for better basis opportunities. We might not get the futures bounce, but we could really get a good basis bounce.
Last week, USDA released some baseline projections, which will be rolled into the Ag Outlook Forum that happens in February normally. What do you think of those numbers?
Well, I guess probably the same thing I think every time I see them. You know, none of us know exactly what we're going to do. So, you know, they use a formula to be able to reach these. For corn for 2021, and that's, I'll only talk about corn and beans for 2021. Corn, they came in at 94.5 million acres, 178.5 bushels to the acre, which would be a trend line. Production, 15.54. Corn carryover, 2.75. And corn price on average cash, 340. None of that sounds really exciting at all, and I can tell you from going to the Ag Forum and following these numbers for years, the Ag Forum can be very different than this, depending upon what happens between now and the time that we get there. These numbers are produced primarily just for budgetary purposes. Years ago, you didn't even get them. They just took them up the hill, and they were never published. So they didn't cause as much of a rile in the market as they do sometimes now. Soybean planted, 84 million acres, harvested 83.2, yield 50.5, again, trend line, $4.2 billion. That would put carryover at $518 million and average cash price $8.85 per bushel. So it's only a starting point. That's all it is. It's nothing more than that. So it at least gives us a little bit of an idea, you know, what they're thinking. And I can tell you from experience with the February report, you know, on here they're saying 178.5 million acres between these two crops, and we will not have that much acreage on that report because they always hold back some of that acreage depending upon prevented plant and all of those types of things.
And when you say they use them for the budgetary issues, they'll probably putting those into some of the farm bill functions like ARC and PLC. And I can tell you from those numbers that for at least 2021, you would choose PLC for corn and it would be close, but ARC for soybeans. All right, Matt, we'll have some time. You don't have to make that decision. Farmers
right.
don't until, I think, March 20, maybe. I don't remember quite when that date is, but sometime along that lines. Not very far away, frankly, but still all kinds of time to think about it. Other parts of the world we should discuss. Can you start in South America?
Yeah, I certainly will. You know, we've been talking about Argentina and the change in the administration down there. And, of course, they take over on the 10th of December. So one of the things that we have to be aware of is that you can expect that Argentinian farmers are probably going to be aggressive bean sellers before that point in time. And primarily because they're expecting the tax, which is currently at 25%, to rise to 30%. And corn and wheat are currently at 7%. They're expecting it's probably going to go to 12%. So the down and dirty is that we're probably going to see a big switch back to bean acres again in Argentina, because when Kirchner was in last time, even though she's the vice president, she limited corn exports because of food, and that made the corn prices very, very low down there. So, you know, at one time in the past, and it was when Cristina was in power, they planted six times as many acres of beans as they did of corn. So we're going to have to really watch the bean market close, because when they sell, that has an impact on us too. When you look at Brazil, just got some interesting statistics. You know, sometimes it's hard to envision how big Brazil is and how big the farms are. So their ag census just said there are 51,203 large farming operations. That's identified as bigger than 2,470 acres or 1,000 hectares, and that's 1% of the total. And so they account for 47.6% of all of the land that's dedicated to agriculture. Now, they also identified 2,543,681 farming operations with less than 24.7 acres, and that represents the other 50%. So, you know, these small operations are kind of what's causing some of the things that are going on down there, because they're allowing them to grow beans now and be able to sell some of them. So the other thing, I don't know the stats on this, Todd, but down there, 8.6% of the total land area dedicated to agriculture is rented. And so this is the type of operations they have. 15.8% of their acres are in annual crops, 2.2% permanent crops, 31.9 planted pastures, 13.4 natural pastures, 30.3 natural forested areas within the farming operations, and 2.4% planted forestry plantations. So if you look at the big picture, what you take away from this is that it's very little of Brazil is actually dedicated to row crop production. Only about 7% of all their land has anything to do with corn or beans. And so I guess what that means to us is, you know, that there's always the opportunity there for expansion in acres. And 70% of all Brazil's corn, and this just, I knew it was a big number, I just didn't know it was this big, is planted after the first crop of beans are harvested. So if we see an increase in bean acres, we'll probably see an increase in Safrinha corn at the same time. But it just blows my mind when you think of the amount of land and the amount of opportunity that they have down there. But they've got their issues too, and economic is a big one.
And finally, any word on China?
Well, same old, same old. You know, they're talking about amping up the policing and everything because of the protests in Hong Kong, which we all know does not go well with what we're looking for. And so they're saying now that they're probably going to push off the signing until December sometime. it'll be interesting if the White House gets what it wants, but because they would like to have President Xi come here and actually sign it in Iowa, which I think would be amazing. But I can't wait for it to be over, you know, because this is having an impact all over the world. There's no question about it. I think it's one comment I'll make is I always think it's really interesting. You know, they're talking about this trade war is now having an impact of about $10 billion, if I remember right. And but they never calculate the impact that was there before. In other words, when we had a 6% import tariff and we were paying 30% to somebody else. You know, it's just always very interesting how the perspective that a guy has. That's why I think my personal opinion is I'm glad to see this happening. I was shocked when I was in D.C. numbers of times at how uneven things were and how we were giving things away, basically, and other countries weren't allowing us to even sell them anything. So I'm excited, but I want it over. Let's just put it that way.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You bet. See you later. Bye-bye.
Yeah, see you too. That, of course, is Jackie Vakes. She is with Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
On this Wednesday, we'll now turn our attention to the weather forecast with Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. It is just a flat-out gorgeous day here, Drew. I know the combines are running, shucking corn, getting the beans if they get the opportunity, though. As we get late into the season, they have to dry at least the corn, and that'll shut a lot of elevators down. They sure would like a lot more drying days. I'm going to guess those aren't coming.
Well, they aren't going to come the way we want them. Let's put it that way. We're going to get some bitterly cold air coming through the Midwest, and that will bring dry air. It'll certainly get dry, but I think we're probably going to have to deal with a little bit of snow and rain ahead of each surge of cold. Nothing big at the moment is on the charts, with the exception of areas from the Ohio River Valley area back towards Oklahoma. Those aren't necessarily huge production areas, but of course, somebody in the Ohio River Valley would come back and slap me in the face for saying that, so let me make sure I correct myself a little bit. You know, we are looking at a small region there that's going to have rain that certainly is unwelcomed, and that system goes ahead and pushes through our first surge of cold with this particular series will follow up, and we'll be in that cold air mass tomorrow afternoon and on into Friday. And warm up just real briefly on Saturday. Both Friday and Saturday should be relatively dry days, but then as we get into Saturday night, the next round of cold air comes in, and it will come with a little bit of light snow. And there is some potential that we may get a little better organized storm system to evolve near the Delta, and then maybe work its way up into the northeastern United States. So there could be a band of significant snowfall possible from parts of Missouri into Ohio, perhaps. Now, this is a bit speculative, though, because the computer forecast models are not quite ready to do that. All these changes are happening so quickly that I think it's going to be hard to get a lot of moisture to come into the region. But it does get bitterly cold after this, and I am a little bit concerned about some of that poorly established wheat out there in both the plains and the Midwest. There may not be a lot of snow that comes ahead of the cold, and right now it's hard to say exactly how cold it will be next week, but I think we'll stay above the zero-degree threshold. But some of this wheat out there is just not getting planted, let alone getting enough time to establish a good root system. So whether or not we get damage next week is not necessarily the big question. It's really about the whole winter. These crops just may not have a good opportunity to get a good root system on them. So we're going to be watching that. And, of course, once we start warming up and bring the warm air back into the Midwest, we're going to have a big storm system that comes with that. And we're kind of looking for that to occur around mid-month.
All right. So by Monday, Sunday maybe of next week, highs and lows both below freezing across much of the Corn Belt?
I think probably that will begin definitely. I think mid-week next week is probably going to be the peak of the cold. So Yeah, it'll begin about that time, but the coldest air will be present probably Tuesday through Thursday.
And then other parts of the world we should check in on. We talked about the Australian wheat crop last week.
Yes, in Australia, not only their wheat crop, but their summer sorghum and cotton areas, of course, are all dealing with dryness to a large degree. Of course, the wheat crop is almost harvested. They're still working at it in the south. There was a lot of rain that occurred for a little while last week, and it delayed the harvest and raised some question about quality. The good news was most of the unharvested wheat-producing areas that weren't involved with the rain for more than 2 days, and they are back into the dry again. But from a sorghum and a cotton perspective, eastern Australia is most definitely back into the drought pattern, and the rain that occurred last week, which was really the greatest they've seen since last April, is going to continue to fall back into a drying trend. So there's not going to be enough moisture for dryland producers to get out there with their spring and summer crop planting. Australia is still high on the list of areas to watch, although the winter crop itself, the wheat, barley, and canola, is being wrapped up.
Your assessment of South America?
Status quo for a large part of the last week or so for both Brazil and Argentina, but we are on the cusp of a change right now. There will be rain in a much better distributed manner over this next 5 to 7 days. In fact, we probably go out 10 days, actually, for Brazil. Areas from Mato Grosso down through Minas Gerais and southward into Rio Grande do Sul, which is a very large portion of their production region, will be seeing a regular occurrence of rain and thunderstorm activity. It may not be quite as great volume as what they usually get, but the frequency will take care of that, and we'll see much better crop establishment. Now, northeast Brazil, which represents about 10% of their production, is still struggling with dryness, and I don't think that's going away for the next couple of weeks.
How about in Argentina?
Yeah, Argentina still has some dryness issues as well. It's not quite as widespread as northeast Brazil, but there are some issues in the southwest of Argentina, and there is going to be only some erratically distributed shower and thunderstorm activity over this next week to 10 days. So a few areas will do better. Others will still be waiting for more significant rain. Eastern Argentina is looking at a relatively good environment right now. Their crops are being planted and establishing well there. So it's mostly the west and especially the southwest that has a problem.
We talked a great deal about the wheat crop, both in the northern and the southern hemisphere, but we haven't hit places like Ukraine, Russia, China, and other crops maybe in those areas.
Yeah, you know, and the biggest issue right now is over the condition of rapeseed. Rapeseed is produced in both Ukraine and especially in China. They both have fairly large winter crops, and they usually plant this in October and November. And at least in China, in Ukraine, it's a little bit earlier than that. But both these areas have been dealing with dryness for an extended period of time. And there's a lot of chatter out there right now that those crops are not established well enough to support a very good production year next year. And, of course, winter dormancy is already setting into much of Ukraine, whereas China still has a ways to go. But China's forecast is still quite dry for at least the next 2 weeks.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
All right. Have a great day.
Drew Lerner is with World Weather in Kansas City and helps us wrap up this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report.